We are in our second lesson of the All In series, and I appreciate all the communication that I've had regarding the All In series so far, and you have been incredibly generous with your compliments, and I've only received, you know, three or four complaints, and so that's good. I'm kidding. Nobody has sent me a complaint. If you want to be the first, don't bother. It's okay. A couple of weeks ago, I said to the congregation, I said, hey, listen, next week I'll be normal. I won't be weird. And I apologized to our guests, and I said, I won't be weird next week. And one of our young people came up to me afterwards and said, actually, you said that last week. So I've decided just not to say that anymore. I might be weird. That's how it is. In your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I always encourage you to do so. I believe it helps us to retain what we're hearing, and it also allows us to go back to it throughout the course of the week and the month and so on, and bring back to our remembrance what the Lord has spoken to us about. So last week, our big idea was this. We said, God is all in with his people and requires that we be all in with him. And we talked about what that meant, and if you weren't able to be here, I encourage you to go to iTunes or to Facebook or to YouTube and watch the video or hear the audio of the lesson, I believe, and pray that it will bless you. This week, our big idea is this. Being all in requires intentional movement. Being all in requires intentional movement. I was thinking about this, and it struck me that most of the romantic comedies and romantic dramas that we see, and we're coming up to the season where there's a whole lot of men in flannel moving to very small towns from the big city, and they're going to find the love of their life, and then there's going to be a problem. And the problem is going to be, and I'm spoilers alert, I'm telling you, there's a spoiler alert. What's going to happen is there's going to be a problem because she or he is not going to understand what it is that she or he is. What's the real vibe that they're sending out right now? Is this real or is this not real? And mostly it'll be because there isn't intentional movement taking place. If somebody would just intentionally have a conversation, please, it would make a much smaller and shorter movie. Not as dramatic, for sure, but, not all drama has to happen. Moving on. And here's the reality. You will not achieve all that God has planned for your life staying still. You won't do it. When God desired to create the worlds, however all of that came to be, he intentionally moved. The scripture says that the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the water. God did not get lost one day and find himself accidentally over the face of the water. He intentionally moved over the face of the water. Then the scripture says that God said, he spoke something. He didn't accidentally speak something. After he said it, he didn't go, didn't mean to say, let there be light. I meant something else instead. It wasn't by accident. It was very intentional that he spoke. And when God called Israel into their promised land, he required them to move as a nation on purpose. They didn't get lost in the wilderness and suddenly find themselves accidentally in their promised land. They were intentionally moving forward. Our text today is in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, where the scripture reads that the officers gave these instructions to the people. They were relaying the words of God through Joshua, through the officers, and they said, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out. Everybody say, move out. Move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. So he's telling them there's going to be a moment when you have to make an intentional movement toward your promised land. I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this, that God will lead you to places you've never been before. As you walk your life out in Christ, you will be led to places that you've never been before. They call it taking new territory, and they use the word new because it's new. You might want to write that down. That's kind of deep. It's new territory, and because we've never been this way before, this is a whole new experience for Israel and a whole new experience for us. See, Israel had been in the wilderness for years. It's what they knew now. They had wandered to places. They had approached the Jordan River the first time, and they had refused to go over the Jordan, and so they went back around again, and they ended up in this place called Kadesh, where they spent 35 years of the 40 years that they were in the wilderness time, and now they've a bunch of people have died there, and a whole bunch more have been born there, and many have come to age there. And now they're in a new and unique place where they're being called to go into the promised land again and cross the Jordan again. And it's a whole new experience. God was bringing them into a territory that was new for all of them. And when you move into territory as a nation on purpose, a couple of things are true. The first is that it builds unity. It builds unity in the body, in the nation, in the church. Why is that? Because if new people come into an established situation, they can very unintentionally cause contention, stress, controversy, etc. It's not because they are intending to. It's totally by accident. They just don't know what is sacred. They don't know where things go. They don't know who sits in that seat. They just don't know. They don't intend to have a problem. My in-laws, my mother-in-law and father-in-law and brother-in-law came to visit us a little while ago, about a month ago, I guess, and my father-in-law and brother-in-law made great use of our couch and our television, and my mother-in-law cleaned our house. So she's welcome back anytime. And she did the dishes for us, and that's really good. And we're still trying to find some of the dishes that she put away. They're there. We know that they're there, but she's put them somewhere where only she knows where they're at. They're not where they're supposed to be. Now, the fact is she did the dishes. So I'd rather be hunting the dishes than doing the dishes. That's how I feel about it. So she's still welcome back anytime. But it's not that she intended to put them in a wrong place. It's just that where she thought they should go is different than where we normally put them. About a year ago, as the church was growing and developing, we had a moment when some folks walked in the door, and these are folks who've been here for years, and I knew them, and they knew me, but they looked very confused. And so they were looking around, and so I said to them, "Hey, can I help you with something? You look a little confused." And they said, no, we've just, we normally sit right over there, but there's some guests who have sat there, and we don't know who they are. So we need to find another seat. We don't know where to sit. There are 403 seats in this church. Any one of them will do. But those guests didn't intend to take somebody's seat. If you're a guest here today, no one in this church owns a seat. So you're welcome to the one you're in. Thank you. Nobody intended to do anything at all. It was just simply they didn't know that somebody sat in that seat for the last 35 years. They weren't aware of it. When everybody enters the territory together, that means everybody's stepping into something new. And so unity occurs. When we changed from 2 services to 3 services, we did not just add another service time. We changed all the times of all the services. So everybody was choosing a new service time. When we went from 3 to 4, we changed all the service times. So everybody was choosing a new service time. And when we go from 4 to 5, it's going to be everybody will choose a new service time. Thank you, Jesus. We're also buying stock in caffeinated beverages. Everybody together, and it builds unity. Secondly, it establishes new levels of commitment for everyone. Because until this moment, those who had come of age at Kadesh had never had to fight for their country. They'd never had to put themselves on the line to achieve something great for the people that they were with. And now they were being called to step up, if you will. Step up into battle. Step up into making this happen. Make the decision to cross the Jordan with everyone else. And you might have to sacrifice to make it happen. So it builds unity and it establishes new levels of commitment for everyone. And as a church, we're moving into new levels of territory and new levels of commitment. We're moving into a new name. Our leadership teams, our elders, and our administrative team and our staff are all working together on this process and project, and it's going through the process so that everything can be done decently and in order. We're talking about our new location, purchasing the land on Mitchell Road and building a building there and transitioning us from here to there. We are building upon 50 plus years of great ministry in this area by this church. And we honor the years of ministry from this church. In fact, we will honor our past by maximizing our future as God calls us forward. Amen. We honor the past by maximizing our future. The men and women who sacrificed for this nation, they were doing so that we would maximize the future of what it could become. God is maximizing us. He's causing us to expand our territory. And so we are trying to be faithful in moving into that in Jesus' name. In your life and in your ministry, in your world. It might not be a moving of physical positioning or physical place. But when we take new territory, it always includes taking new territories of ideas, new territory of faith, new territory of trust in God and in leadership and in the people around us. It always is going to call us to new areas of ideas and faith and trust and leadership. And some of you have been in the same territory for a long time, and God's calling you into new territory. And in your world, maybe it's in your marriage. You've been in the same territory of marriage for a long time. It's not that you're getting divorced. It's not that you're separating. It's not that you're even fighting all that much. You've just been in the same territory for a long time. And God's calling you to a new level of excitement, a new level of passion, and a new level of growth, and a new level of something being birthed out of your marriage. And it means taking new territory. I didn't say he's calling you to a new person in your marriage. He's calling you to take new territory in your marriage. How about your business? Maybe in your life, your business is stagnant. Or your career is stagnant. And God's calling you to take new territory in this area of your life. You've done what you can do with what you know and with what you have. And God's calling you to new business territory. New technologies, new methodologies. He's calling you to something different, to another level in your life. But it's going to mean taking new territory. Maybe it's in your faith. Maybe your faith is generally stable, but truth is you haven't been excited about the kingdom of God for years. You go to church, you believe in God, but you're not that excited, you're not that passionate about it. Maybe you're more excited about the LSU game than you are the Sunday morning service. Or Buckeye game, or Wolverine, or name your team, that creates more excitement in you than the Savior who gave his life for your soul, and because of his sacrifice, you can go to heaven and have a great life here on earth. Now, the two really don't compare, do they? But yesterday, I watched the game, and honestly, I was extremely happy. But I watch people losing their minds. As LSU won that game, LSU won that game, LSU won that game. I just lost their minds. Who will struggle to be faithful in their relationship with Christ? and in their expression of their relationship with Him. In your life, maybe you're not walking away, but you're not taking new territory either. And maybe God's calling you to a higher level of faith. But it can be scary. It's scary because anything that's new territory is new, which is why they call it new territory. And the whole story can't be seen. You can't see it all. The only thing you can know is to how to take your next step. Israel was challenged with taking a territory, but they did not know what was going to happen once they crossed that river. All they knew is what the next step was supposed to be. They were going to be called to move out. And that's the second thought that I have today for us, is that fulfilling His plan means moving out from your position. Fulfilling God's plan for your life is going to require moving out from your position at some point. You cannot stay where you are and fulfill God's plan for your life. It's simply impossible. When we were talking about this new land and new building coming up and all of that's going on, one of our leaders, just an incredible leader here in our congregation, said to me, you know, we've been talking about this for some time now. Over a year we've been talking about it and planning it and praying into it. But suddenly it's hit me that this is real. This is getting real now. And while we will all experience that moment in different moments, in different ways, the reality is that anytime we're called to move out, things get real. Until this point, the promised land was always an idea. One day we're going to get to the promised land, and let me tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you how it's going to be in my life in the promised land. When I get to the promised land, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to say. Have you ever had the conversation? When I get in that office with that person, let me tell you what I'm going to say. We're going to do this, and we're going to, and it's going to be like, mm-hmm, and you better, and uh-huh, and no, and I'm not going to, and. But then the door opens, and you walk into the office, and now you're called to step out. And so oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, the conversation goes a little different than you prophesied it would. Little different, some edits there. See, until this moment, this was a journey of ideas. But now it was going to be a journey of intentional steps. When we're running scared, when we're reactionary, we're not being intentional. It's all unintentional. It's like a reflex to something. I've told the story before where I washed my hands. I was about 7 or 8, 10, 12, 14 years old. I don't remember exactly, but I was young. And I was washing my hands, and I went to the dryer, and the dryer was making a lot of noise. And somebody came up behind me and grabbed me from behind, like around my waist. And I just, out of reflex, just turned around. And with everything in me, I just punched my father right in his solar plexus. I didn't mean to. It was just a reflex. And he couldn't breathe, and I knew I was dying. And I'm not sure how that worked, but that was a fact. And he gasped out, eventually he gasped out, well, at least I know you'd fight. And I did fight, but it wasn't an intentional decision that I made. It was a reflex in my life. And as long as we're operating in reflexes, it's not an intentional movement. But when the call comes to move out, that's an intentional movement. Now we have to take a next step. What do I mean by moving out? Here's what I mean. Maybe you want to take a screenshot of this on the screens up here, a picture of this on the screens. Moving out means knowing the goal. They knew that they were called to take the territory of the promised land. It meant knowing who's with you, recognizing who's with you. They weren't just a mass of people running and not understanding who was there. It meant knowing your role in the process. Some of them were going first, some were second, some were third, some were fourth. They knew what their role was in this process. Their destination. They knew the destination. So some weren't going east, west, and others north and south. They were all going in the same direction. And they were intentionally taking their next step. They were saying, all right, I'm moving out. I'm taking the step of faith here. Now, in Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament, it teaches us that the majority of the steps that we take as New Testament believers are going to be steps into a promised land that has everything to do with our minds. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God." So he's saying that you can connect properly to the will of God in your life whenever your mind is renewed. To be renewed means to be made new again. It means to bring your mind back to how it was supposed to be in the first place. And so in your world and in my world, we have to, we're living in the same universe, as it were. But suddenly, when our mind is renewed, we respond to the same stimuli in a different manner. It's not that the situation around us has changed. Our mind has changed. Our mind has been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So some people move to a new location physically, thinking that everything around them is suddenly going to shift. But I know, and you probably know, that everywhere you are, there you are. And if you go to a new location with the same mind, you're going to get the same result, even if it's in a new location. Because you're creating out of the abundance of your heart and of your mind. So he says the old mind is alive to sin. So when sin, the opportunity to sin comes around, our old nature, our old mind perks up and says, I connect with that. I understand what that is, and I'm alive to that. But the transformed mind, the new mind, it's dead to sin. So when the opportunity to sin arrives, it doesn't respond, because dead things don't respond to stuff. If they do, you've got another problem. Or it wasn't dead. So he's saying the renewed mind will respond differently to the same stimuli once it's been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. So maybe you're in the room today and you've been hurt, you've been abused, you've been neglected, and you've got trigger points in your life that when this happens, you respond to this in a negative way. Or maybe that's not you. Maybe you're on the other side of that. You're one who has hurt others, abused others, taken advantage of others. And you have certain trigger points that cause you to act in a negative way. God wants to renew both minds to align it with His good, His acceptable, and His perfect will. So what does that look like? Well, in your marriage, a renewed mind might go from saying, this marriage has no potential to be a great marriage, to suddenly seeing potential in your marriage. That, hey, we could have something beautiful here. In fact, we probably do. We've been together for 42 years. What if we actually liked each other? Maybe in your dating world, you have been relying upon your physical appearance to attract someone, and maybe a renewed mind says, tell you what, you're going to have to know my name before you share my bed. That's good preaching. I have a whole speech I want to give on that someday. I'm not going to right now, though. God bless you. How about business? You have certain moments in your life where you're saying, hey, listen, I normally would look at this and it'd be frustrating and I'd be down and negative and depressed, but somehow I see an opportunity here. A transformed mind, a renewed mind can see opportunity where the old mind would only see the negative and how about in church? There's an opportunity with a renewed mind to see the potential of what could be in the lives of men and women around us and how we can make a difference as a family of faith in the world around us and in our community. Suddenly we start seeing vision for what could be. I pray today that God will renew our minds concerning our marriage, concerning our faith, concerning our businesses and our finances and every other aspect of life. How many would like for God to renew your mind today? He said that's something that the Holy Spirit can do in your world and in mine. And all we have to do is reach out to Him and say, Father, I open myself up. Holy Spirit, I open myself up. Renew my mind today and let me respond to the things around me according to your will, according to your plan. But often it's a mind and spirit move, and sometimes it is a physical move, but it's always your choice. And that brings me to thought number three, that God will provide leaders to follow. The leader will lead, but you have the choice as to whether or not you will follow the lead or not. God was calling Israel from humble patience to humble boldness. And that's a big phrase that I explained a lot. I talked about a lot last week, and I encourage you to listen to that sermon if you haven't. He was calling them from a reactionary state to a proactive state. But he was still giving them leaders to follow. In fact, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, I read it the first time in the New Living Translation. This time I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. And I will explain to you why I'm changing versions in the middle of a sermon here and explain it to you. It says, they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites burying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Now in the New Living Translation, it says you should follow them. This is saying you should follow it or go after it. Many translations, in fact, I would say most translations translate it versus follow them. And when it's using the word it there, it's referring to the subject of the Ark of the Covenant. He's saying, when you see the Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant, follow the Ark of the Covenant. Follow the Ark of the Covenant. The focus isn't the Levites. The Levites are the spiritual leaders of the people of Israel. But the Ark of the Covenant, that represents the presence of God, the law of God, the life-giving power of God. It represents all that God is and all that God can be in the life of Israel. And he's telling them, follow the presence of God. Follow God, if you will. And if the Levites are carrying the ark, then follow them. If the Levites are just out taking a walk, stay where you're at. And this is very similar to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, where he says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. He's not saying you should imitate me regardless of what I do. He's saying you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, I've had people ask me just recently, how do you deal with it, or do you ever get frustrated when people examine your life or you know, look at your life really closely? And my answer is, I should have done something else with my life if I was going to get irritated about that. Because if you say I'm a leader and I'm willing to lead, then you're opening yourself up for people to look at what you're doing. And Paul is saying, Joshua is telling the people, if they're following Christ, if they're carrying the ark, then you follow them. But the prerequisite is that God is involved in where they're going. So in your world, the priests were called to step first. And somebody's going to have to step first. Somebody's going to have to step first in your marriage, in your business, in all of your relationships. Somebody, if God's calling you to a new level, a new territory, to take new territory in your life, somebody's going to have the courage to say, I'm here. I'm stepping out. And they may not do it quite as excited as I just did. They might say, but somebody has to take the first step. Maybe the first step is to apologize first. Maybe the first step is to reach out and make that phone call first. Maybe the first step, I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. If God's calling you to it, He's going to let you know what that first step is. And I can tell you that as this church transitions, God is calling us to step out. to step out first, if you will. Christy, would you join me? A little over 2 years ago, Christy and I, we believe God directed us, called us to become a part of this congregation and lead this congregation forward into its next, whatever God has for us. And it's been, a wild ride for the last 2 years. God has done some pretty incredible things, and we've never been this way before. We have good mentors and leaders and pastors in our life that we talk to on a regular basis and seek counsel from. We have incredible leaders in this congregation on our leadership teams that we're working together, and God has brought incredible expertise to the table. But ultimately, every single one of us is working to follow Christ and the voice of God in our lives. If God's not in it, we don't want to be a part of it. But if he's in it, we want to go all in. So Christy and I have been talking for a number of years about a particular purchase that we would like to make. It's a fairly substantial purchase in our life. And we had never been able to afford it. It was always a journey of ideas whenever we would start talking about it. It was exciting to talk about. But last year sometime, we discovered that we were in a financial position for the first time ever to be able to afford what it was we were wanting to purchase. All day, people have been asking me what it is that I wanted to purchase. That's none of your business. But it was substantial for us. And so we found ourselves in a place where we could afford to purchase it. And so we made some appointments and we looked at some things and finally found the one about 6 months ago. We found the one that we wanted and we were excited about it. We put our deposit down and we were thrilled. We came home that evening and we went to bed and we were excited. We talked and talked and talked about what it meant. And the next day we got up and we sat in our living room drinking coffee like we do pretty much every morning. And as we talked about it, we had a realization. And the realization was this: if we purchase this thing, then we could still give a sacrificial offering to the kingdom project that we are presenting to this church in a new land, a new building, and so on. But it would not be a substantial offering. We could not do both. And as we began thinking about it, we realized that the decision was clear. And we called up the people that we had agreed with and we canceled our purchase. So today, Christy and I are taking a step into the Jordan. We're all in on what God is calling this church to do. And for us, we're giving a substantial and sacrificial offering to this kingdom project before us. And you might say, well, how much is it? And I'm going to say, that's none of your business. It's substantial and sacrificial in our life. You might say, well, why are you doing it publicly? Is this a pride deal? And I would say, no. You just can't follow what you can't see. God did not call the Levites to secretly go to the river. He said, when everybody sees the Levites do this, go follow them. So you can't follow what you can't see, and so we're doing it publicly. You might say, well, the ink isn't dry on the agreement on the land, much less the building. How do you know if you're going to like the paint on the walls of the building? I don't. We're not that far along. I might hate the paint on the wall. But this is not, it has never been, and it can never be about sheetrock and screws and metal and concrete and wood. It cannot be about the physical aspects of the building. It must be about the souls that will and can be saved in whatever we will build. I know everything isn't completed yet, but God doesn't always stop the water before he calls leaders to step into the current. So, Valentino, can you help us? come right up here. Today, Christy and I, as a couple, as a family, we are bringing our offering. Because we believe in McCord Road. We believe in what Christ is doing through McCord Road. We believe in this body of believers and its ability to impact the world around it in a way that it has never seen before. We have never seen before. And we believe that there's a promised land before us, and we're excited about being a part of it. We're all in. This isn't our tithe. This isn't our offering. This is all in. Praise God. Thank you, baby doll. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about in your life today. I'm not taking up another offering right now. We're just trying to lead. But what if your first step? What if your first step meant your marriage changed forever? What if your first step meant that your business took territory like it had never taken before? What if your first step meant that more souls would go to heaven because of your gift and because of what you did? What if your first step, I haven't said this in any of the other services, but it's scary. Sometimes being scared is how you know you're alive. The presence of the Holy Spirit's in this room right now. I encourage you just to bow your heads right now and ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me in this sermon? Is it your marriage that needs new territory? Is it your dating life that needs new territory? Is it your business, your faith, your connection to the church? Is it the gifts that you have in your life that are yet to be used? Where's the new territory in your life? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us in this service? We're open to you, and we're asking you to empower us to take that first step. In Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody say amen.